to the teleconference of Tashlisa for discussing the results referring to the third quarter of 2018. My name is Rogério Tosses, and I'm the Director of Investor Relations. Here with me, the CEO of the company, Peter Thompson, and the CFO, Gustavo Zeno. Following the opinions and suggestions of our interactions and analysts and making market benchmarking for better practices, we decided to reformulate all the promotion material with the aim of making our communication more efficient. We've launched the new investor relation website, www.estacio.br/ri, where the audio and the slides of the presentation are being broadcast simultaneously. I'd like to thank the investor relations team for their contribution and commitment in this stage. Before giving the word to our CEO, I informed that the teleconference is being translated simultaneously to English, safeguarding best governance and avoiding asymmetry of information between our stakeholders. All participants will only be hearing the audio conference during the presentation, and afterwards we will start our Q&A session when more instructions will be provided. In case you need assistance during the conference, please request help from an operator typing *0. This audio conference may contain predictions about future events that are subject to risks and uncertainties and the expectations may not be fulfilled, or they can be completely different. These predictions convey the opinion uniquely on the date that are made, and the company is not obliged to update them in the light of new information. Now, Peter Thompson will speak. Please, you have the floor. Welcome, everybody. This is Peter Thompson. Well, I'd like to highlight Tosses' words and thank the whole investor relations team for this new stage. Well, the first slide, what are the highlights of this quarter? Our total student base has been stable when compared to the third quarter of 2017 with 531,000 students. I like to highlight the segment growth in e-learning with a growth of 90% in the last 12 months, compensating the performance of classroom-based courses. I'm sure that Stacio has the best e-learning system in the country when it comes to satisfaction, product, and performance, and we believe in its growth. Today, about 40% of our student base is in this segment. My second highlight is the performance of profitability of the base, which has been our focus, especially in moments of challenging scenarios, be it by the macro or competitors. We've attained solid growth of average ticket price, be it in classroom-based courses with 13% year-to-year, or e-learning with a growth of 18% when compared to the same period in 2017. In this period, we launched approximately 200 new courses between classroom-based courses and e-learning and flex courses. We also strengthened substantially our e-learning with geographic expansion, new polls, new courses and offers, and these actions, not only with classroom-based courses, but also with e-learning, allowed a strong performance in the financial results, as we can see in the lower-hand side of the slide, where we can see continuous growth in all value drivers, be it EBITDA margin, cash generation, net profit, or revenue. And we also announced the extraordinary distribution of dividends totaling 400 million reals. Next slide, now on page number 4, we can see a fiercer scenario in the attraction of students in the second semester because of low economic activity, because of the slowdown of governmental program of financing scholarships, and also a competitive scenario. When it comes to competition, we see pressure on prices, discount, augmentation, and also the number of scholarships. And these actions, they focus a lot on the bulk, and they relinquish fundamental issues that we think are important for the sustainability of the business in this context. Estacio has adopted a different posture, looking obviously at the bulk issue with tactical actions for capturing new students, and with a bigger focus on this crop, and we avoided disruption in prices. We focused on the present value for students, in the healthy expansion of this segment of e-learning, and also in the augmentation of offers for courses, especially engineering and healthcare. We're also prioritizing new campuses in medicine besides the 4 ones that have already been opened in the last year. With this approach, we hope we got good results, important results, such as stability of our student base, finishing the quarter with 531,000 students, just like the same period in 2017. Excluding the governmental scholarship financing program, the total base has grown 7%. The stability of segment, for example, XCS. We also have the growth of segment of e-learning intermediate courses at 19%, and also the average ticket price growth, and also the indicators related to maintenance and renovation of student base. So we were able to promote improvements in rentability and in all lines of results, for example, net revenue, net profit, and generation of cash. Next slide, number 5 now. There are some highlights here when it comes to operational improvements. For example, average occupancy, we had improvements not only in classroom-based courses, but also in e-learning. This improvement happened because of some actions. For classroom-based courses, there is an increase in the number of subjects, better sharing of subjects among courses, and a new career for professors. We also have in e-learning, perfectioning of tools of methodology and interaction between professors and students, and also improvement in indicator of students per tutor without affecting the satisfaction of the students. The number of campuses is now one unit below when compared to the same period in the last year because of optimization because of the merging of 7 campuses in the last 12 months. And this movement towards better efficiency was compensated by 3 new campuses of medicine besides the other 3 new greenfields. When it comes to e-learning, we have a strong expansion in the number of polls through partnerships. Besides the 268 ones that are active in the last year, more than 70 were in the phase of activation in the at the end of the quarter. And I'd like to highlight the performance of the staff cost per base of students with a reduction of 12% when compared to the third quarter of 2017. Now the issue of quality in the slide 6. And according to the National Institute of Educational Studies, there have been considerable improvements in different indicators between observed and expected performances in tests like INE and INA. That means before entering and after leaving college. We had a 12% improvement in the year of 2014, and I'd like to highlight the e-learning segment with an index of 95% of satisfactory grades. Talking about the national exam again, the ENAGE, it got a prominent position. It held this position. 50% of our courses that were evaluated had a very satisfactory grade, which was a great performance not only from the institution but also from our students. When it comes to the university rankings of Folha de São Paulo newspaper, SASU was ranked among the best private universities in Brazil, and no other institution of higher education in Brazil can combine skill and quality and the standards offered by this university. Now, a few more details when it comes to slide number 7. We had in these 12 months an accelerated expansion, and we keep a very strong pace. The number of active polls compared to the last quarter of 2017 more than doubled. Now we have 506 active polls. That's a growth of 113%. This expansion has been possible thanks to our partners. We also launched the program of partner management. That means it comes from the guidance and also monitoring of the poll and also the application of best practices and award giving to partners with highlighted performance. We also launched 15 new courses of e-learning Android courses, Flex e-learning, and also e-learning that totalized 47 courses and 3,423 offers. That included 401 municipalities. That means 149 new cities. And we mapped out more than 1,500 municipalities with potential for e-learning, especially cities with 500,000 inhabitants. I'd like also to talk about our efficiency programs that bring a complete change to our company. In slide number 8, we highlight with bigger detail the characteristics of the projects and financial impacts, especially in costs and expenses. When it comes to revenue group, the pricing and fidelity project are in its initial stage. We've already worked initially with project pricing in the last precedent crop and re-enrollments. Full implementation will happen in the first semester of 2019. Talking about revenue, the fidelity project is already running, and we've already started the value capture phase. When it comes to costs and expenses, we went a step forward when it comes to explaining the potential benefits. The strategic sourcing and credit and collection project has been already initialized. For the first one, we've seen, again, 21 categories of spending of the company, and this is also in a more advanced stage. So we have to capture more than 50 million rios at the end of the project. There's a second project, which is credit and collection, with a focus in increasing recovery of credits and improving the collection departments. We are in the initial stage with a 5% of the total estimated when it comes to 16 million reals. Now, let me pass the floor to Gustavo Zino, our CFO. Thank you, Pedro. Thank you, everybody. On my first slide on page 9, I'd like to show in detail the improvement of our revenues. As Pedro mentioned, we have a more cautious posture when it comes to pricing. We are using other leverages such as retention, new courses, campuses, and polls, and they brought very good results in evolution of our revenue. We had a 6% growth, and we also showed very continuous improvement from quarter to quarter. We also had very good results when it comes to cost contention and also restructuration projects of staff. The line has shown a drop of 12% and represents 29.7% of our net revenue, which compares with a 35.7% in the third quarter of 2017. As a result, the gross profit has grown 20% in the year-on-year comparison and reached 487 million reals, and the gross margin reached a level of 57%, which is a great leap over the margin of 50% in the third quarter of 2017. Now, slide number 10, expenses and EBITDA expenses. We had an augmentation of 21% of trading expenses in the year-on-year comparison, especially because of the increment of bad debt provision. And this happened because of the changing of criterion for the bad debt provision calculation, as it was decided in the beginning of the year. New products are being offered by the company. The PAR, the installment payment, for example, installment payment with more than 3,300 students, which is a lot more than in 2017, and the DIS, which has been offered in the attraction of students in the first cycle of 2018. Besides the provision on long-term balance, Stasi complements the provision for 100% of the value of the outstanding balance when, for example, there is no agreement with the student that defaulted the payment. This criterion values a better conservative when it comes to non-recovery of credit and delay, and it reached 6.9% in this quarter and 8%. On the upper right-hand side of the slide, it can show you, for example, the maintenance of administrative expenses. We totalized 138 million reals and a drop, which is important, of revenue from 17% in the first quarter of 2017 for 16.2% in the third quarter of 2018. One of the culprits that we are having this year are the extraordinary expenses of consultancies referring to efficiency projects that were mentioned in the previous slide by Pedro. As a result of revenue improvement and strong control on costs and expenses, EBITDA has expanded 23% year-on-year towards 275 million reals. And when we adjust them to extraordinary services and non-recurring services of consultancy, the adjusted EBITDA shows a growth of 26%, reaching 283 million reals. And when we look at the EBITDA margin, we keep a very strong improvement, reaching 32.2%, that is the reported one, and 33.2% when it's adjusted. This adjusted percentage is compared with a level of 27.8% in the third quarter of 2017. Now, my last slide on page number 11, I'd like to highlight the solid position of cash in the company. We finished the third quarter with 771 million in cash, and an EBITDA indicator of 0.3. And the operational cash flow reached 204 million reals, which is superior to the 193 million of 2017, which is a growth of 6% year on year. When I talk about the governance scholarship financing program, we had an additional 342 million reals in the cash flow, totaling 546 million in the third quarter, 52% of growth when we compare to the period of 2017. The EBITDA conversion indicator reached the mark of 63% in 9 months in 2018, and 97% in third quarter 2018, which is actually on seasonal grounds. Our cash was especially applied in the program of share buyback, dividends, and also CapEx. There are other options for cash usage, for example, reinforcement of the programs of scholarship financing and also mergers and acquisition. Now, I'll give the floor again to our CEO for the final considerations. Pedro, please. Thank you, Zeno. This is Pedro Thompson. In slide number 12, as a synthesis of the results and perspectives for our business, I'd like to highlight four fronts. First, in the operation, the efficiency project, the focus on the present value per student, new courses, the work on retention and the loyalty of the student, and also the expansion of courses of medicine. And the second one, talking about the e-learning segment and its rapid expansion, we already have 770 hired polls for the fourth quarter, 38 new courses for 2019, and the potential to reach, I think we've been cut. There was an interruption in the transmission. And as a last front, we're going to use this cash flow in a very with discipline, and we're going to allocate this money on buyback, on dividends, financing programs of students for students, and also we're going to keep on monitoring options for M&A. As a subsequent event of the results of the third quarter, we'd like to announce the board of directors approved the proposal for distribution of dividends at the value of 400 million reals, 1.33 reals per share, and they're going to be negotiated at a divided yield in November. And the last installment will be paid on December 21st, 2018. This extraordinary distribution, along with distribution in the beginning of the year, the program of executed shares and buyback, are the evidences of, are the proof of our focus on the generation of value for our shareholders. Well, thank you, Pedro Gustavo. Now let's talk about the Q&A. Let's go now to the Q&A section. Operator, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start our Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, type asterisk 9. If you want to remove the question from the list, type asterisk 9 again. Our first question comes from Mr. Rodrigo from BTG Pactual. Good morning, everybody. I have a doubt when it comes to the dynamics of attraction of students. This is something surprising over the first quarter. I think the strategy is very clear, which does something different from what the marketing is doing, because they're focusing more on prices. When it comes to the business dynamics, as operational leveraging is very important, and sometimes we have a very negative effect when it comes to the front, and this pressures the margin. The doubt that I have is, do you take into consideration any possible change in the strategy? Think on the macro, for example, how macro can help when there is, for example, very strong competition in some sectors, maybe lowering the prices to make up with volume. I'd like to try to understand, because this strategy is very clear to me when it comes to improving prices, but this base pressure becomes more important to me. So the objective is to find this optimal line, and so I would like to see what, I'd like to know what your take is when, for example, when this attraction of student has a drop, so maybe we can focus on volume and less on price. So this is my doubt. Thank you for the question. Peter Thompson is answering to you. When it comes to strategy of P versus Q, using reference the benchmarking of the status, which was a strategy change that we had, especially what has been attracted recently, when it comes to the figures that have been disclosed in the last 8 quarters, despite the decrease of the volume of attraction, and based on how this converts with our indicators, be they PDD, net profit and margins, and also cash generation, I think this strategy has demonstrated that this is a correct strategy because it has a direct impact, and the indicators of margins showed very good improvements in this last quarter with this change of strategy. But on the other side, the perplexity is our volume of students, because it's not exactly in alignment with what we have as a goal when it comes to ticket value, for example. We've already started some improvements in terms of the strategies, new commercial planning, which is very granular, a new policy of pricing. Not that we're going to change, for example, the ticket value policy, but we're going to give more agility to pricing when it comes to decision-making and benchmarking. But in the general plan, in the background, the strategy is correct, but obviously we have to focus on volume, and we're working hard towards this. And I think we are on the right path, and I think that our focus is also correct when it comes to tickets and also volume. Thank you, Pedro. Let me see if I can understand what you're talking about attracting new students. Can you explain a little better how the dynamic was for the sector? Let's divide it between Northeast, North. So where in Brazil is it harder to attract new students? And have you been losing volume, for example, because of prices? Well, I think it's too early to talk about 2019 because we're in November. But what do you feel about the next year when it comes to macro and dynamic, when it comes to demand for potential students? Do you think that there can be a positive cycle? This is the initial idea that you have based on what you have been able to attract so far? Perfect. First of all, when it comes to sectors, we categorize them between classroom classes and e-learning, but the most difficult ones were in the North and Northeast, especially because of prices. Not only because of prices, because of policies bound to waivers, perennial scholarships, and we've already anticipated the attraction of new students, and we have a stock of students, so it's too early to talk about it because we're still organizing. We're still in this initial phase of attracting students that are already enrolled for taking the preparation exams, admission exams. But what we have for 2019, for the first quarter of 2019, in this initial stage, especially in these sectors, we are already satisfied with the work that is being developed. I think we are on the right path, and there will be some improvements in our commercial process. We've already done some of them. Our market dynamics is much more granular now. We've already improved our sales force. The call to action when it comes to pricing has been improved too. The processes have been improved. And it's based on new management methodologies. We are following new trends and methodologies. And we have a team that looks at pricing 24 hours, and they make decisions in a correct manner with empirical data. So I think that for 2019, the strategy will be kept, but we're working on the student base because we want to reverse this trend that we've had in these 5 or 8 last quarters. Thank you, Peter. That was clear to me. Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcelo Santos. Well, just piggybacking on what he said, how the changes in the commercial process happened in the last year? What were the main changes in your management? And what timing did you implement? Is there qualification missing on the edge? This would be my first question. And the second question is, when it comes to the ticket dynamics, I think it's positive. How do you divide, for example, between veteran and newcomers? How much increase do you offer to the veterans? Thank you, Marcelo, for the question. This is Pedro. So, revising what we've done in terms to when it comes to commercial processes, we implemented the sales fund. We reached the last stage of the student. We consider the student as a student. So we with the invoice that it, when he paid the invoice, we see that he is able to study. But this is the first improvement. And with the internal benchmarking, we were able to see some more aggressive issues, for example, related to waiverings and scholarships that lasted a whole cycle of the student, which was detractor of value, that reduced value. And I believe the evolution of our revenue year on year in the last 2 years was something perceptible and was something positive. And what we are doing now is, first, this call to action that refers to prices and specific campaigns. So we are operating in a granular level. And we highlighted this to you because it's a structuring process that will be in power in the beginning of 2019, not only when it comes to counting with intelligence and monitoring, and we can also have a view so we can take better decisions that are assertive. And there is a second point. We're going to operate more aggressively when it comes to our commercial team because we were too regionalized. Now we have a commercial team which is very granular. And when it comes to the last point, when it comes to the ticket dynamic, this is a normal flux. We check what we had in terms of inflation in our operation, and the inflation is regionalized based on geography. And this inflation is forwarded to our veteran students. And the increase was very different when it comes to the veterans and the newcomers. Well, this is confidential, we don't disclose this information, but in general, the increase comes from the veteran student. Thank you. Our next question comes from Maria Teresa Azevedo from Banco UBS. Thank you for the question. You talked about attracting students. There was an interruption. How do you see the issue of default on payment, and what strategy have you adopted to break the cycle in the long term? We've been talking about gains in efficiency, as we commented on the call. There are expected gains for 2019, which are results from projects that were executed, which were carried out during this year. There is a capture curve that is expected for 2018, and after 2019, we will be very close to a new grade when it comes to the projects that have been implemented. In this case, we created some new categories in the company. For example, digitalization in you. This is also one of our discussion. This is a topic of discussion. We don't have any concrete initiative that is aimed at digitalization. We are studying this possibility, and I think it's gonna bring some benefits. This is part of our work plan. There's some additional deficiencies that are expected too. When it comes to retention, the company invested time and resources in a project we called Fidelity Project, which is made up of 80 initiatives, and they are already running. We had good news when it comes to the retention rate of our base, as we showed in our release. And when we talk about classroom classes, we have 75% of retention. We had good news when it comes to the DIS retention. We also, the EBITDA, we've had a retention of 75%. And the deviation, just to make it clear, is not a deviation. As it is a new product. It's a crop. So the period when we lose more students is between the first and second period. And when you talk about the crop, when you compare students from the first to the second period, there is a symmetry. We didn't stop renovating. We didn't stop enrolling. This 85 is not comparable. It cannot be compared with the 72% because 85% of classroom classes includes the whole system. And the DIS just includes the renovation of the first and second period. And if you compare these renovations, it is symmetric between DIS students and non-DIS students. And when it comes to collection, the PDD is very important. We checked our collection policies. We customized our profiles. And I think this is going to generate concrete results. And I think we're going to capture these new gains in the beginning, in the third and fourth quarter. But the best benefits will come in 2019. Thank you. And there is a second question about the allocation of capital. You had a cash generation that was very solid and a dividend. How do you see the best usage of cash from now on? Do you see any possibility of a takeover or going, for example, to augment the distribution to shareholders? What do you see as a priority? Thank you, Teresa, for the last question. We are in a position of cash, which is very substantial. We have net cash and not net debt. This is the origin of our dividends. When it comes to future usage, we are thinking about expansion. We are very cautious about organic expansion. In fact, our hub for a new camp, for the implementation of a new campus, makes us be very cautious. And I think that we are on the right path based on what the company has shown us. And our campuses are campuses of Madison, and they bring very good return when compared to other campuses, traditional campuses. I think it's too early to talk about results. When it comes to the business and the expansion of the business in organic, like, I think we're completely inserted in this agenda. And when we talk about the sources, the company has a perspective of being an excellent cash generator, and we can even get an additional leveraging. So we have many advantages when it comes to using this future capital for organic growth and non-organic growth, and also for new processes of buyback and dividends. Thank you, folks. Let me remind you that if you want to ask a question, just type *9, or you can do it via webcast. Our next question comes from Marcelo Santos. Thank you for taking my second question. I want to talk about the intake. What are the improvements that you have made when it comes to processes? what are your perspectives for 2019 when it comes to planning? How much do you plan to spend on marketing? Is it reasonable to imagine that with so many drops, you think there's going to be, for example, a stability in your rhythm? Do you think there's going to be something close to stability? Is it to be expected in the next year? Thank you for your question, Marcelo. Pedro Thompson is speaking now. This is subjective. This is the focus number one of the company. We had a cut. And I believe that a good demonstration would be our retention rate. And in fact, this is our number one priority. This issue of attracting new students and breaking this trend of losing new potential students. Thank you. Let me remind you that if you want to request a question, just type *9, or you can do it via webcast. We are finishing now our Q&A session. I'd like to give the floor to Pedro Thompson for the final consideration. You have the floor. I'd like to thank everybody for the participation and also result call. So, I hope to see you again in our next result disclosure for the next quarter. So, this teleconference is finished. I'd like to thank you for your participation.